Father, thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship a God that is alive. That we can come to you through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Father, that he is the only way. Jesus, you said to your disciples, there is only one way to the Father, and that is through me. So we come this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship you, Father. We praise your name. We want to declare that we love you. And we yield completely to you. Jesus, you are our King. And we pledge our allegiance to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Makes the Christian religion unique is the cross of Christ. Let me take this away, then you can put it there, John. John, put it over here. Put it here. It's close to my shoulder. I'm going to stand on my shoulder if I put the ball there. So Romans 4, I got a bit lost in translation there, and the Lord was faithful and he came and he helped me, gave me this picture 2 nights ago, and it's such a simple picture, but this is the gospel is simple, it's all about the centrality of the cross. No matter where we read in the Bible, Genesis 15, when God called Abram, the cross is there, because he spoke about the seed. Capital S, Jesus Christ. That was the promise he gave to him. He said to him, I'm giving you descendants and inheritance. But primarily he was speaking about the seed. And we'll get there just now, the God promises. But the whole topic... So, yes, you can see the title, strengthened in his faith. He gave glory to God. So we find that in Romans 4, I think it's verse 20. We find that Abram, he hoped against hope. Eric, he hoped against hope. Strengthened in faith, he gave glory to God. So, the whole topic of righteousness starts with God. God is just. And that word is the same. Diadem. It's the root word of righteousness is diadem. God comes and gives us this crown of righteousness. So whether you use the word just, justice, righteousness, right, it's all the same Greek word. So everything starts from that fact, that characteristic of God, that God is just. And I want to say together with that God is not a respecter of persons. So in Romans 4, there's this tension between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews think they are special, and they are special because God came to them, he gave them the law, he gave them the Mosaic law. God came to Abram, and Abram started this nation by believing in God. When God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, go where I will send you. God didn't tell him where he's going to send him. That's crazy, huh? God just called him out of a nation full of idolatry, and said, go where I will send you. But I want to jump to Hebrews. This slides a bit further on Hebrews 11. I think it's from verse 8. If you can go there. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out. If you read Genesis 15 with that, you'll see that he didn't know where he was going. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now, listen to this verse. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So God put a picture within him, a vision, a dream. And he saw way beyond. This was 4,000 years before Christ. And he saw Christ and he saw beyond Christ. He saw us today. He saw the church of God. The city of God, which is a heavenly city. The heavenly Jerusalem is represented by people. I think if I remember correctly from Revelations, it's 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile, a cubic. That is the size of the city, full of people, full of God's people. There will be no sun, because Jesus will be the light in this city. So that was the seed that God showed him. So everything starts with God is just, and then the cross. I wrote in their faith in Jesus Christ, because we hear the gospel. We hear the word of God. And by the Holy Spirit, something happens in our heart. And we realize that we need God. We are not as righteous as what we thought. We are not as wise as what we thought. And not as strong as what we thought. These were also the three tensions in the Roman world that Paul was addressing. We need God. And by faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? God that is just, he imputes righteousness to us. If we do not believe that gospel, he says in, I think it's Galatians, where he says, it is seen as foolishness. Those who do not believe the gospel, they see it as foolish. Those who believe, it becomes the power of God unto salvation. So we do not believe the gospel. God that is just, imputes sin. And that becomes ungodliness. Ungodliness is, there's no good, because God is good. So we see all that. If you start from verse 1 in Romans 4, you'll see he speaks about those words. This is just a simple, very simple way to understand it. Let's finish in Hebrews. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since he considered him faithful who had promised. She refused to look at her body. I think at the time she was 80. Abram was 90. She refused to look at her body. But she chose to believe God who is faithful. That's where faith starts. Faith is not a mystical thing. Can we go back one slide? Hebrews 11 verse 1. So we've said, if Hebrews 11 verse 6, we said, faith is to know that God is. You know that definition. Hebrews 11 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. She could not see her descendants. She could not see that her body can bear a child. But she believed in the one that is faithful. And that's what makes the difference. It's not what we see. It's not what we feel. It's about the one who is faithful. We may be unfaithful, and we are unfaithful from day to day. But he stays faithful. And that's where our faith connects. Just go back to that slide, Daniel, please. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So that's what happened. But Genesis 15, he said to God, when God said, I will give you descendants, he said, but I don't have a son. My Syrian woman slave, his son will be my heir. And God took him out and showed him the stars, showed him something, showed him a picture, said, this is how you will, your generations will look. Here is the physical manifestation of what God showed him. God gave him a contact point and said, that's what you see there with your eyes. This is what's going to happen. And we are part of those descendants. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham because of the cross, because of faith in Jesus Christ. Same with the Jewish nation. They may be, not maybe, they are in the flesh descendants of Abraham. But also spiritually, by faith in Jesus Christ, they are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Exactly what God told him. The next slide. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So this whole generation coming from Abraham down, what did they not see? They did not see Jesus. They did not see the church. They did not see the spiritual city of God that God showed inside of Abraham. For people who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land that's now Ur of the Chaldees, from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And that's the promise he gave them. That's the promise he gives us, is the city of God. Us here today already represents the city of God. Ultimately, we're going to be part of that city. It's going to be a physical city, but now it's a spiritual city. And all of us will be inhabitants of that city. The only condition is faith in Jesus Christ. Not whether you're rich or poor, clever or not clever. The only condition is faith in Jesus Christ. It is from faith to faith, hope against hope, that we enter into that city. Okay, can we go to Romans 4, verse 13? So we stopped last time at verse 12. I would love to go through those 12 verses again, but I think our time is limited, so I'm going to jump to verse 13. You can read, you can take a picture of this or remember it, and just read through those 12 verses again. Okay, let's start there from verse 11. Romans 4, verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision. So we're talking about Abram here. And God appeared to him in the desert of Haram or Aram. And the Bible talks about the tents of Aram. God appeared to him and God gave him this promise. And because of that promise that God gave him, Abram believed. And the Bible says in Genesis 15, it was reckoned to him, imputed to him as righteousness. And God gave him a sign, and the sign was circumcision of the flesh, which the Jews still do. All the men are being circumcised. We also call it ceremonial law. This was, remember, when Abram believed, it was before ceremonial law. It was before Mosaic law. We are exactly the same. When we believe in God, God counts it as righteousness. If I can compare a sign to that, it would be the baptism, the water baptism. Because an inward reality of Abram there, the righteousness of God, the sign was an outward reality of that. For us, the inward reality, the righteousness of God, will be baptism, where it's an outward reality, where before witnesses, we are baptized. We are baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are baptized into the body, us here, of Jesus Christ. It's an outward sign. So the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe, without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. So the best way to understand this is to look at the left-hand side of this cross. See, I wrote it all in red, because that is the fleshly works. So if you look at the vertical beam of the cross, people at the bottom, all of us, the whole world, God is at the top. There's a relationship. We need faith in Jesus Christ to connect with God that is just, so that he can impute righteousness to us. And we'll read just now that that is called blessedness. The Greek word is makarios. But if that doesn't happen, if that faith in Jesus Christ does not happen, God imputes sin to us. The result of that is self-righteous works. You can also call it fruit. It's the result of that. So these people, the self-righteous, they work up a debt. So they want to be paid. They want some kind of a compensation for what they do, even if it's recognition. So they will give to the poor, but they will tell you about it. I've also done it. So I'm saying they, but I'm also doing the same thing. So then we fall in this dangerous category. That's the category of the flesh. The works that God wants from us as believers are based on him working through us. So as we walk in faith, it's the best way to explain it is in John 15, where Jesus talks about the vine, and we are the branches connected to the vine. And Jesus says the branches can't do anything of themselves. What is he saying? The branch cannot bear fruit of himself. The branch need to be connected to the vine so that the sap of the vine can flow into the branch. That sap produces fruit in the branch, not the branch itself. And this is what's happening here. This horizontal beam of the cross that I wrote works in red there and works in blue on that side. The works in blue is the works that we have no control over it, over us. Over it. We, as we abide in the vine, abide in Jesus, these works flow through us. We can't take glory for it because we didn't do it. It just flows through us. Salvations happen. Repentance happen. The Holy Spirit flows through us. We can't take glory for it. So that is, it's based on grace. Grace is charis. It's a free gift. God gives it to us freely. The other one wants recognition. It wants a debt. That debt can also be fear, based on fear, like what Paul was speaking in this context in Romans 4. Because of fear, the guys were trying to obey the law. There's 660 laws in the Mosaic law. And they were scared that if they do not obey it, God is going to do something bad to them. We can't obey the law, all those laws. The law, in any case, is spiritual. We can only by our heart, by loving God and by loving each other, obey all the laws. You can't go and count the laws and I'm going to do this one today and that one and that. It's not possible. And again, it's fleshly works. So that's what Paul is talking about here. You go to the next slide, please. That is why it depends on faith, faith in Jesus Christ, in order that the promise may rest on grace. One thing that's said in the previous slide is that faith and promise, they work together. So faith is the substance for the promise of God. And the promise of God is what pulls your faith. So God promised Abram this city, this heavenly city. And even though he looked at his body, the desert, everything around him was shouting to him, it's impossible. He looked at God, who is faithful. He looked at God's character. And that pulled him forward. So can you see that faith pulls you towards the promise? That's why he said in the previous slide that it makes the promise void if there's no faith. And it works the other way around as well. That's why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed. So this you can apply to your own life. I spoke about Bristol just now. Whatever is dead there, I can say, Father, you know what you called these people in Bristol for, and you can make it alive again. So we reach to the God of the faithful God. We don't look at the unfaithfulness on earth. We look at the one that is faithful, and we trust him. Who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So I think here he's been waiting at least 10 years. I don't know if he waited 10 years or 20 years for the promise of God to come into fulfillment, for Sarah to become pregnant with Isaac. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So he fed himself with the faithfulness of God. So it depends on what you look at. He kept on looking at those stars that God showed him. It was a contact point. He said, God, I trust your word. You are faithful. You will do it. I can't do it, but you will do it. Next slide. Okay, verse 21 of Romans 4. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Imputes righteousness. That God that is just, he imputes righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So do you guys understand this picture? So he talks about a reward of grace. Now if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse, I'm not going to read it for us now, but I think it's 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. He says, talks about this whole chapter that is a chapter of love, 1 Corinthians 13, and the very last verse he says, so what is left over is faith, hope, and love. It's almost like he's summarizing the whole chapter, and he's saying it's faith, it's hope, and it is love. What is against that? The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of this world, unbelief, hopelessness, and hate. You see that in the world. You see it on social media. So the rewards of grace is faith, hope, and love. God says to Abram when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, he said these three things. He says, do not fear, Abram. Say that to yourself. Do not fear. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. It's not the promise that is the reward. God is the reward. So it starts with God and it finishes with God. It's full circle. Because glory always comes from God, goes back to God. Glory never comes to us. glory comes to us, we're on this side of the cross, on the red side. So very simple, but very powerful. That's Romans 4. Thank you. And to pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will write these words afresh in our hearts, that you will make it alive. So much so, Lord, that it will come out of our hands and out of our feet, so that we will follow after you in faith, that we will walk in the footsteps of Abram and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from moment to moment, from faith to faith. In Jesus' name, amen.